The scripture we'll share together this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning the reading at verse 12. John chapter 12, and beginning the reading at verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word, and many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's just pray a moment. Father, as we consider these words today, we pray that you would just speak to us in a powerful way through your word. We thank you for this event and what it led to. And we pray, Father, even more for the event that eventually it will lead to. Speak to us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Today we're going to look back, and then we're going to look forward. That is what really true preaching is all about. It's about looking back into the Word of God, and then looking forward into the present and into our lives and even into the future. We look back today at Palm Sunday. That is a historical event. It actually took place. It was a day when palms were waved, Jesus arrived and entered the city of Jerusalem near the end of his own life. I never could figure out as a kid whether Palm Sunday was supposed to be a happy day or a sad day. I think it was a little of both. There certainly was a festive atmosphere that day. But for Jesus, he had to have mixed feelings. He was living out the scriptures and the prophecy about him to the letter. He was no doubt touched by the kids who waved palm branches the way we used to do it in Sunday school. And yet, I think he was hurt by the adults, even though they were also in a festive mood. Jesus knew what was coming. And he knew that just in a matter of days, many of these same adults were going to turn on him and join in the chorus led by the Jewish leaders, "Crucify him," as they stood before Pontius Pilate. I'm sure he was also disappointed in his disciples because he had carefully laid out God's plan for them, and yet they seemed not to get it. They listened time and time again, and yet they didn't listen. That's not the way it's supposed to work, Jesus. You talk about death and you talk about betrayal. We're here to protect you. But of course, Jesus knew that that was not God's plan. So that's looking back. Now looking forward, I remember this quote. Interesting. The Jews are looking for the coming of the Messiah. And the Christians are looking for his coming again. The Jews are looking for the coming of the Messiah. Christians are looking for his coming again. If you get that, really you get the whole message today from God's word. And that begs the question, is Jesus the Messiah? Is he really the Messiah? Old Testament scriptures talk about the Messiah. Listen, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah will be born of a virgin. He'll be a prophet like Moses. He'll enter Jerusalem in triumph. He'll be rejected by his own people. He'll be betrayed by one of his followers. He'll be tried and condemned. He'll be silent before his accusers. He'll be struck and spat upon by his enemies. He'll be mocked and insulted. He'll die by crucifixion. He will suffer with criminals and pray for his enemies. He'll be given vinegar and gall. They'll cast lots for his garments. His bones will not be broken. He'll die as a sacrifice for sin. He'll be raised from the dead, and he is right now at God's right hand. Right on down the list. Jesus, check, 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 check. And yet the Jews refuse to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Somebody calculated the odds and said that it's 1,000,000,000,000 to 1 and then some, that someone would meet all of these qualifications perfectly and be an imposter. And that testifies to how strong sin is in us. Sin causes us to reject Jesus. The Jews have rejected him from day one as the Messiah. He's an imposter. He's a blasphemer. He's not the real thing. We believe, on the other hand, he is Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, the Great I Am. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah. Amen? Amen? No doubt. If you lived in the day in which Jesus lived, you would notice that hope for the Messiah was a big deal among the Jewish people. There was this tremendous sense of hope that all of the occupations that they had experienced, first by the Persians, and then by the Greeks, and then by the Egyptians, and then by the Syrians, and finally by the Romans, the Jewish people had lived under foreign rule for so long, and these people were desperate for a leader to come along and to lead them to freedom, to reestablish the nation of Israel like it was when David was king, when everyone looked up to them. They were so hopeful. They had a national hope that you could just feel the Messiah. He's going to come soon. God's going to rescue us. He's going to liberate us. The waving of the palm branches was part of that. It was like waving the American flag at a political convention, a patriotic gesture. And they even had a special psalm that they would recite together and sing together, is Psalm 118. Listen to some of these words. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He's my helper. I'll look in triumph on my enemies. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. Grant us success, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the psalm that they knew by heart. It was the theme of their great hope. Please, Lord, send us a deliverer. And now it's Passover time. It's time when all the pilgrims came from all the surrounding lands. All the Jewish pilgrims came into Jerusalem with their lambs, and they came for Passover. They came to celebrate that great miracle when God rescued them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Tens of thousands of people flocked to Jerusalem with their lambs, and the priests were there to bless the lambs and then to kill the lambs and make them ready for sacrifice so that the Passover could be carried out. That's the time when Jesus chose to come into the city. And the people were buzzing, and they were saying, could this be the one? Could this be the liberator that God has sent to us? And before they could even answer their own question, they were caught up in this celebration, and the children grabbed palm branches, and all the visitors formed this great crowd, and they were just alive in hope that maybe he was the one. They're talking about Lazarus. Could this be true, the rumors we've heard about this dead man coming out of the tomb at the command of this Jesus? And even his enemies, even Jesus' enemies, saw that the crowds that were coming out to worship him, and they were discouraged because they said, look, the whole world's gone after this guy. It was because they hoped he was the Messiah they were looking for, the liberator. And then you go a little further down from what I read, and Jesus' words here are dripping with meaning when he starts to talk about, Father, glorify your name now. When the people heard him say that, they were thinking, the nation of Israel is going to be great again. And he will be our leader. And they're waiting for him to grab a sword and to wave it and to pull everyone together in this massive revolt that would bring them liberty once and for all. So Jesus is worshiped, and he's worshiped with palms, and people get it right, at least to a certain extent. The disciples, they're still confused because Jesus has talked to them about his death. His enemies, they're frustrated because of all the support that is going towards Jesus. And the people are waiting for him, waiting for him, waiting for him to act. And what does he do? He enters the city. He clears the temple, turns over the tables of the money changers, curses the fig tree, predicts his death, says it's going to be part of God's plan, washes his disciples' feet and tells them they need to be servants, changes the Passover into the Lord's Supper. And then, of all things, submits himself to arrest, a kangaroo court trial, torture, and death. The first triumphal entry and what it led to. The second one is somewhat different. Fast forward to the real triumphant entry. It's found in 1 Thessalonians Chapter 4 and verse 13. Listen. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words, says the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now that's the real triumphal entry. One of them is behind us. That already took place. And it led ultimately to his death. The real triumphal entry will be quite unlike that. It will be announced with the Lord's own voice, with the voice of the archangel, and when God reverberating, "Behold, my son, he comes on the clouds." And it will result in the resurrection of the dead. It will result in those who have been asleep in the Lord now coming with him down to judge the world. In a true triumphant manner. And when that time happens, everyone will know instantly that Jesus has returned. Everyone will know instantly that he is truly the Messiah sent by God to redeem the world God's way. through his death. So that event is still out ahead of us. If you go a little further in that 1 Thessalonians passage, it says, get ready for this. Don't be nosy about when it'll take place. Don't try to figure all that out from the scriptures, because that's God's business. Know for sure that it will take place, and the scripture says, be ready, be focused, be prepared, be telling people Jesus is real. He is the real Messiah, and he's coming again. Be reminding each other as fellow believers and as a congregation that Jesus is indeed on his way back to earth. And the real triumphal entry will be something that everyone participates in. Maranatha, that word was said often in early worship services. You know what it means? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. They used to say it all the time. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We should say it more often. We really should. Because the second triumphal entry is ahead of us. And it is indeed coming. It will be the day of the Lord, a day of judgment, according to the scriptures, a day of permanent separation, a day of the resurrection of the dead, of reunion of loved ones who believe in the Lord. It'll be a day to see the Lord for the first time and be with the Lord forever. It'll be a day of joy and celebration and triumph and vindication. So the scripture says, be prepared. Be prepared. Stick together. Encourage one another. Build each other up. Remind each other that this day is coming. Now, what's the point of all this? One triumphal entry is behind us, and we understand Palm Sunday. We understand it because of the benefit of hindsight and the Bible. We know what was going on. We know that it was going to lead to Jesus' arrest and betrayal. We know that it was a special day for Jesus and his disciples. It is a sentimental day for us. It's part of God's plan. And the lessons are many. One of them ought to be about true worship, because a lot of those people that showed up for that first Palm Sunday turned on Jesus just days later. But the main lesson of that first Palm Sunday was Jesus is the Messiah, and he was born not to take up a sword. He was born to die. He came into the world to die. That was God's plan. And that first Palm Sunday led right into, ultimately, his death for you and for me. The other thing we ought to remember is that the real triumphal entry is ahead of us. It will be a time unlike anything any of us has ever experienced, anything history has ever experienced. No one will be excluded. No one will be excused. Everybody's attention will be captured immediately. And the reaction to seeing Jesus and hearing Jesus will be instantaneous for everyone. There won't be any more agnostics. There won't be any more atheists . Separation that takes place between those who have clung to Jesus and those who have rejected Jesus will be permanent. And so the scripture says it's time to prepare. Let me end with this. Are you personally getting your palms ready for the second coming, for the second triumphal entry? Are you cutting your palms right now and getting them ready? Are you expecting Jesus to return? You go back into Jesus' teachings. Half of his parables said this very thing: get ready, get ready, get ready, be ready. You read the scriptures. Listen, he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. On that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, and keep his command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Can that be any more clear? He's coming for those who are anxiously awaiting the second triumphal entry. And for those who are, it will be a glorious day. Second big question we end with. Have you invited anyone to come with you to the upcoming Palm Sunday? The second triumphal entry. You won't have to climb a tree like Zacchaeus did to see Jesus on that day. It will involve a skywalk. Says believers will be caught up with Jesus in the air as he descends to judge the world. And we get to share this celebration with Jesus. On this triumphal entry, there'll be no looking forward to suffering and betrayal and death, and we'll be full of enjoyment and excitement and joy, and we'll be with the one who has always loved us and always will. And we'll be together with loved ones who have gone on before. Does this sound exciting or what? But that whole idea is, are you going to invite anybody to come to the second one with you? Are you anticipating it enough so that this coming day, I wouldn't miss it? It's inspired these great songs. The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face. You know that song? How about this one? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and through this promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. the upcoming triumphal entry. You getting your palms ready? Are you going to invite anybody to come to it with you? That great day of celebration, all made possible because of what Christ has done for us. We're going to sing a song at the end. It's a Christmas tune. You'll recognize it right away. Only it won't have Christmas words. It'll have some of the most powerful words you have ever heard in your life regarding what I've just talked about. Lo, he comes with clouds descending. You'll know the tune, but it will be not about his first coming into the world. It'll be about the second triumphal entry. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what lies ahead of us. Thank you for what Jesus endured on our behalf, but thank you for what lies ahead of us, for his triumphal entry. May we sense it. May we anticipate it. May we live in anticipation of it every single day of our lives, because we know that we'll be a part of it in a very real way. We'll experience it in the deepest possible way. We'll share with Jesus in that great triumph. Thank you, Father. We pray that in Jesus' name, amen.